Well, for the message.
Amen. Let's give another hand of praise for Pastor Sam. Amen. Amen. You know, if you're here today, it's not by accident. And those that are listening live, it's not by accident, because God has something special for you. A special word, special message, and we need to open up our ears to be able to hear what God is saying in this hour. Amen? So, I just want to begin to just wait on the Lord for one moment to be able to just kind of give that sense of an awareness of His presence. And be able to just kind of open up our hearts. Ask God to say, God, let my mind be clear. Let my mind be clear. Let my eyes be opened so that I'll be able to embrace and hear what you have to say. Give me an understanding to grab hold of the mysteries and the ancient secrets that you had from the foundations of the world. You have created life. You have created the spirit. And you have created us a destiny. And then it's to bring us back to you. Let us understand the cycle from the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and not be caught up or consumed, but to understand so that we can have life, and not only life, but abundant life. I pray, amen and amen. We've been speaking a series now, and God's word is living. And I always encourage those that are logged on or listening and following this ministry to go back. You know, it's always good to go back and to listen to some previous recorded messages to get it an understanding of where God is taking us. And today I want to bring an awareness of life and how our life is built and how there is set apart. You have a mind, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. And they all play a part of your life. And if things aren't in order, you can't have a life. When God created the heavens and the earth, and I was sharing this with Pastor Sam just the other day, you know, we kind of tend to forget the beginning. And when I spoke about the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, we don't comprehend life in itself. We tend to take things for granted, and then we're self-consumed. It's about us and what we're going to do and how we're going to survive on a daily basis. But when we're young, we don't think about the things that when we hit mid-age. And then when we're mid-age, we don't think about the things that when we get older. And when we're older, we think about things differently when we're looking and approaching the end of our life. How many people would agree or understand that one? So infants don't really comprehend anything, and they're just all aware of all the new stuff. I mean, can you picture coming out of the womb and opening up your eyes and everything is so new? It's like, woo, look at this. You know, all the colors and everything else is just so, ooh. And then as you get older, you know, you consume a lot of knowledge. And they say within your first 6 years is the beginning of your life. And you receive, and you're like sponges. Well, God had a plan, and He has given us a life. And when we come onto this earth from heaven, we're orphans. where actually our soul is already conditioned in a lost atmosphere, and we're lost, and we're trying to figure it out, and that's where the mind comes in. You have a soul, you have a mind, and you also have a spirit. In the very beginning of life, your soul begins to manifest, and you're birthed in a soul. And that soul is automatically lost. It has no understanding, no clue. It's like put in the middle of the woods, and life says, try to figure it out. Now, we're equipped with a mind. Our mind begins to start thinking. It starts to reason. It says, tree, path, hole. Don't walk in the hole. That hole, I never experienced a hole. Okay. I suffered. Now I learned what a hole is. How many people are beginning to follow me? Okay. Now, one thing is we have relationships, guardians, parents, whatever it is. They kind of try to show us the way, and we take some of their guidance and understanding. They might say, oh, don't go there. That's a hole. And you question, what's a hole? Well, a hole is something that's deep and you can fall into it and get hurt. Oh, okay. And then you begin to take some instruction and some understanding as far as life. But you have to understand there is a soul that is deep inside of you, and some people call it a subconscious. Has anyone ever heard that term? Subconscious? Okay. Well, that subconscious has an awareness, and that awareness is really based on experience. It's really based on relationship, trust. And when life takes us through our journey, we begin to learn, and normally we learn by the things that we suffer or the things that we experience. And deep down in our subconsciousness, you have to always keep this in the back of your mind, you're lost and you're alone. And through growing up, you're lost and you're alone. And you might be able to accomplish a lot of great things on your own, but your subconscious awareness, your soul, is still saying you're lost and you're alone. How many people are following me here? Okay? Now, you might end up having relationships in your life, and you embrace those relationships, and you have great love for them relationships. Notice I said love. But all of a sudden, that relationship breaks up. Let's say when you're going through that relationship and you have that great love, everything seems happy, doesn't it? Seems like you got a lot of courage, a lot of strength. You can start taking on the world. You can start accomplishing things. You start building, you start taking risks. Maybe you might go in areas that you've never done before. You have this adventure in you because your soul doesn't feel alone anymore. Now, all of a sudden, that relationship breaks away. What happens again? You go into mourning. All of a sudden, you feel hopeless. All of a sudden, you feel alone. All of a sudden, you feel lost again. What found us? What gave us that encouragement? What gave us that sense of, you know, risk-taking, excitement, adventure? Was it the other person? Or was it love? It was love. And your soul is connected to this power called love. On earth, we have, and it's important, relationships. When the two become one, it feels like it's complete, doesn't it? It feels like, wow, now we can venture out. We can do things that we've never done before. When you were alone, you weren't taking risks. You weren't making those moves. You weren't doing anything. You were kind of stuck. You become hopeless, actually, to a point where if you're alone long enough, you become hopeless and you become bitter, you become angry, and your life really falls apart and it becomes death. Your soul dies. And then not only does your soul die, you just kind of sit there alive, but you wait for your body to actually die. I know people like that. I know individuals who have come to a place, and they might even still be couples, old couples, but what has been lost is love. You have to really grab hold of what I'm saying. Because a lot of people out there are lost. And they're trying to find their way through life. And they're trying to use the strength they have. And they're really trying to support all that they have. And they might have a family, or maybe that family split up and they have children or what have you. And they're really trying to support themselves on their own. But there's one key element that is missing. The soul is lacking love. And because that soul is lacking love, we tend to embrace other things to try to fill that soul with love, to just give us more strength. Some people go to, you know, areas of entertainment, whatever it might be, to fill that void that is inside of them to find love. People will say, you know, entertainment, what do you mean? Well, if I listen to you, you'll say, oh, I love movies, you see? Oh, I love going out to concerts, or, oh, I love to spend time with my family, or I love to do this, I love to go to the shore, or I love to... And they're running all over the place, chasing this love, and then when they get a little bit of it, and then they go right back to the soul condition of being lost. How many people are beginning to follow or understand what I'm saying? You know, Paul, Pastor Sam mentioned it earlier. Paul says, I've learned to be content on the mountain and I've learned to be content in the valley. There was a reason why he learned to be content on the mountain and content in the valley. He filled his soul up with love. And there are many people out there that don't understand the spiritual awareness or the spiritual understanding of who we are. We are a body, and this body is equipped with a soul, and this soul has a need, a desperate need, and that need is connected to life. Now, when the soul is running around chasing, looking for love, it's trying to fill itself with satisfaction. And sometimes soul never gets filled with satisfaction. Never. Nothing satisfies them. They turn to food. They get cravings. They turn to people. They turn to places. They turn to things. And they're constantly running and chasing and looking. And finally, they never find it. And this is why it's so important. I try to tell people the purpose of finding God. It's supernatural, and this supernatural connection fills you up with this love that is always there. You can be satisfied and content just sitting in a chair doing absolutely nothing if you have a relationship with God. If you have this love, it's supernatural. The mind can't comprehend it. The soul is longing and thirsting after it. And then there's a resurrection This love resurrects. This is the key. Your life. Your life is never living. It's never alive. You might be 6 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, living in a soul, never having any this supernatural love in you, which never caused you to live. You're still dead. You could be 50 years old and dead. That's crazy, isn't it? It's insane. You can't comprehend it in the natural. You're like, what are you talking about? I'm alive. I get cut. I hurt. I feel pain. I feel excitement when I'm out partying. No, the reality is you're dry. You're thirsty. You're dead. You're gasping for air. Your soul is starving. Your soul is dead. No, I got all these things. I got everything. But if you're honest with yourself, you're constantly running, you're constantly chasing, you're constantly looking, you're constantly trying to fill this emptiness that is inside of you. I know how to fill it. You know, Jesus made comments and says, if you drink of this water, you'll never go thirsty again. If you eat of this bread, you'll never go hungry again. What he was trying to say was the message that he's bringing across is life. And the life is the love of God. If you don't have a relationship with God and understanding the love of God, then this love will not give you life. This love is the only thing that awakens who you are. When you are born, you are born in the soul. Your spirit is never awake. Your spirit is never alive. Your spirit is dormant, like in a cocoon, waiting to be woken up. Your spirit is waiting and looking and waiting to embrace who you are. If the love of God never comes into your life, you will always be lost looking for an identity. You'll always question yourself, who am I? I don't know who I am. I don't even know what I want. You might have a lot of things in your life. You might even say to yourself, I know who I am. I'm an electrician, I'm this, I'm a carpenter, I'm a teacher, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a, administrator, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a dentist. You can say all these things. And you can even bring up all the love that you do. I'm a guy who loves movies. I'm a guy who goes on vacations. I'm a guy who owns a boat. I'm a guy who loves fishing. I'm a guy who goes up in the mountains and hunts or whatever. But when you really become honest with yourself, you sit there and you're sitting there and you're craving and you don't even know what you're craving for. And then you turn to the love of your life. Hey, honey, or hey, honey. Because both of you are honeys, whether male or female, and you look at it. Or your friend. Hey, brother. Hey, dude. Hey, what's up? And you come up with some idea. What do you want to do? Basically, what you're saying is, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm running out of fuel. I need some excitement in my life. I gotta be awakened. I gotta get up. I gotta get out there. I gotta do something because I feel bored. They're the common language that we most are familiar with, when the reality is my soul is running out of energy. My soul is running out of food. I don't have anything to talk about. My conversation is bland. I need some experience. I go out with a friend, and because I don't have no activities in my life, I just stare. There's nothing bubbling up out of me. There's nothing coming out of me. I don't have any love that is in me. I didn't go on vacation. I didn't go I didn't go travel. I didn't, you know, have an experience. I don't have nothing. How many people are following me here? These things, what is happening is your soul is consuming your life, and you're eating tofu. How many people understand what tofu is? You can eat it and never get filled. It's almost like MSG. You can eat it. It pretends to fill you up, and then 5 minutes later, you're hungry again. I know what will satisfy you. I know what will fill you up and give you rest. Has anyone ever gone to bed on an empty stomach? Seems like you can't sleep well. You're tossing and turning. You're kind of like, oh, man, can't get any rest. You eat something, all of a sudden, and you're falling right to sleep. Well, your spirit is starving. That's why a lot of people don't have rest. Their spirit is starving. They don't have a life. And the only life is in the love of God. Our soul is lost. And your soul, through your mind, is working out your so-called life. But you don't have a life. You're not content. You're still lost. I have all these things, but I'm still lost. I'm all these things. How many people know some rich people who are just like lost? I know a rich man that had, if I looked at his life, I was like, dude, man, you should be like the happiest cat in town. I don't understand what's going on here, you know? Not knowing, never expressed any emotions, he ends up committing suicide. And you ask yourself, how can a person like this, who has everything, end up being hopeless to the point where he doesn't want to live anymore? And when I say he had everything, he had the money, he had the sure houses, he had the, you know, the cars, he had the businesses, he had everything. A rich man had no life. You know, I liked Pastor Sam's offering message. He said, you see this money? It burns. It's nothing, but it consumed your power. It took the soul of the man, and with his mind and his soul said he had a life. But inside, he was dying. Why do we need God? Now, I'm not saying that we need church. Church is where you build the love of God. You ever increase the knowledge of the love of God. Paul says, I count everything as dung so that I would know God the more. He wanted to know the love of God more. This is what church is to be. It's a place of an establishment to know God the more, to know his love more, so that you can have more of a life. And not only a life, but an abundant life. What kills me, what hurts me, is I see so many people striving to get a life. And it's almost like, man, you don't have to strive. I understand the pressures and I understand the financing, the finances of living in this world that we live in. But if you understand the mysteries and the supernatural power and the ancient secrets of God, then if you find this love, he provides all your needs. He takes care of every aspect of your life. See, when I spoke in the very beginning of this message, I told you that we're all orphans. And God is looking to bring us back into an adoption. He wants to be our caregiver. He wants to take care of every aspect of our lives. The problem is we can't comprehend God's love. We don't know how to receive it. We don't know how to embrace it. We don't know how to get it. I'm here to tell you how to get it. I spoke a message on Wednesday, and I said that the will of man, there's a veil between us and God if we live the life of the will of man. Basically, what I was saying is we're all living in a soul realm. And that veil is separating us between God. And we could know all the scriptures, we could know all the Bible, we can go to many, many different denominations and churches and say all the prayers. But if you're still living in soul and you never embrace the love of God, you're separated from Him. There's a veil. And now you go to works. You think works are going to get you having a relationship with God. And your works are nothing more than your righteousness trying to find a way, a path to this love. And God looks at your righteousness, your works, as like stinky, like P.U. I don't really care. All I want is your love. That's all He wants. Oh, how do I get it? Well, I'm going to say something very simple, but yet mostly it's almost impossible, because you have an enemy that you grew up with all your life. And the enemy is the enemy of reason, your mind. Your mind is always playing tricks on you. Your mind is lying to you. Your mind is telling you that you need this. Your mind is constantly lying, because the soul and the mind are enemies against God. The soul, for one, is the adopted son or daughter, or the orphan, I should say, the non-adopted child, the illegitimate son and the legitimate daughter. It doesn't exist in God's house. How many people understand this? See, the problem with most people is you think you are one individual, but you're really not. You're a player of two people. Do you understand that? You're not one person. You're a player of two people. The soul operates with the mind. That's an enemy of God. God rejects the soul in the mind. People are like, well, how's my soul going to be saved? That's a myth. That's a myth of generations after generations after generations of ignorance trying to tell you that your soul needs to be saved. No, your soul needs to die and your spirit needs to be resurrected. That's the truth. Your soul fades away and dies. How many people are beginning to understand what I'm saying? I want you to break away from traditions of men and embrace the truth. Why does the Bible say you got to die daily? What are you dying to? The spirit? No. The spirit is what is resurrected. Got to come resurrected from the dead. So the spirit is being resurrected when the soul has to die. The soul needs to die. And the only way that the soul dies is through love, God's love. And God's love is what resurrects the spirit. See, God's love does two parts. Your soul is connected to your mind, and your soul and your mind lies to your soul, because that's given over to another power. It's given to the father of lies, and the father of lies has taken the children of God. I was sharing with Pastor Sam before the foundations of the earth the treaty that God made with Satan. And you have to understand the warfare that took place up in the heavenlies. And I don't have time to explain all this. But when we were put on earth, we were given as an adopted orphan child over to Satan. And Satan, or the devil, or darkness, or the dark world, okay, has taken on us as children. How many people understand that one? Okay? It sounds kind of creepy in a way that, oh my God, when I was born, I was actually born as Satan, being the father of me, a spiritual father of me. But yes. Isn't that sad? It's the reality of life. It's a mystery. It's an ancient secret. Okay? And we're born, and the Bible even says it, How many people have read that scripture before? You know, your father is the father of lies. Has anyone ever read that scripture before? I should have to pull it up one day and read it to you. And so because we're born in that, in the world, we're born in the world, and Satan is the father of lies, he's our father. And we have to break away from that family. We have to break away, and the only way that we break away is realize who is our real heavenly father through love. And when we embrace this love begins to burn the soul out. It burns the chaff. It begins to burn the soul out. Now the soul is connected to the mind, and the mind is embraced with darkness. And the mind is an enemy against God. And this is where the spiritual warfare is. There's this constant spiritual warfare over our lives. And so with this taking place and knowing this truth, I would want to know God even more, wouldn't you? So that we're not deceived. And our mind is always deceiving us through reasoning. You need this, you need that, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's all reasoning under the strength of the soul. The spirit is connected to your life. And the life that God has given you is within your heart. It's your desires, it's your passions, it's those things that you really long for, you really, really want. You really, really need. See, some people say to themselves, oh no, I really love this. Okay? But really, the love that they're embracing is the soulish love. It's like the sin nature of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life. And with that being said, we're deceived. We don't really understand what we love. And then when God begins to come into your life and he changes your love, you embrace God's love and all of a sudden your spirit begins to awaken. And then when your spirit is resurrected and is changing from glory to glory to glory, what that is saying is that your spirit is growing. Just like the natural soul. When you're 6 years old, you turn to 18 years old, and then your soul turns to 20. You thought different when you were young, right? And then when you got older, you thought a certain way. And then when you got older, you thought a different way. And then as you ever increase in age, then you start thinking another way. Well, that's the same thing as when you embrace God's love. The more knowledge of the love of God that you have in you, your soul begins to die. The love of God begins to burn out the soul, and the soul decreases when your spirit begins to resurrect and gets older and stronger and more alive. And then all of a sudden, you come to this place not only being content, you're fed. You're no longer thirsty. You're no longer empty. You're no longer running around trying to fill yourself up. You can actually sit in a chair all day and not be tossed all over the place saying, I'm bored, or I got to go over here, or I got to do this, or I got to go on vacation, or I got to go find somebody to hang out with, or I need somebody to talk to, or I need this, I need... You're constantly filled. Your spirit is content. You have rest. I mentioned earlier about going to bed without any food. You're kind of like on an empty stomach and you're kind of tossing and turning. And some people, that when they fill their belly up, they snooze right out. Who is one of them? I'm one of them. As soon as I fill my belly up, I'll tell you what, it's nappy nap time for me. I'm like, but when I'm hungry,
You know, I got all this energy and I feel like I got to run all over the place and do all this and all that. And I used to blame the fact that, you know, the food weighed me down and all that, you know. But the reality of it is, it's just a concept of our soul and our spirit. You know, our spirit, when we're filled, we have rest. And this is why it's so important to understand the love of God. I was sharing earlier where we need the love of God. We grow up in the soul. And we live our life thinking we have a life. And we have no life. The soul is nothing more than death. It's doomed for death in many ways. One, you can't sit still and be content. You always feel as though that you have to be doing something. Has anyone ever been that way? You always feel like you have to do something. The soul and the mind come together. And the mind has told us a long time ago, oh, you can't just sit there. You have to be productive. If you're not productive, then nothing gets done. And if you just, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that. And you're not bettering yourself because you're not doing anything and all that. When the reality is, we're just running around chasing our tail. God, you know, the Bible says one thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He knows your needs. So, the soul brings death. The soul deceives us with the mind, thinking we have a life. In the midst of it, it tells you that you have to do all this. You have to do this. You have to do that. And it also creates you to get filled with a love. The soul is always searching for love. Searching for another person in their life. Vacation. Another weekend down with Bernie. You know, always searching and looking for that excitement. And that excitement to the soul is love. How many people are following me? It's very important to grab this, because how many of us seem very weary and tired constantly? And you might even say to yourself, I can't believe it. I rested this week and I'm still tired. And I can't seem to get enough rest. Well, that's because your relationship with the supernatural, with God, the love of God, is lacking. And it sounds sad to one respect, because you might say to yourself, but I do all these things in your name. I do all these where I read my Bible, I pray, I do works, I do all these things. And how could you say I don't have this relationship with God? How could you say this? I can say this because you have no rest. When the love of God comes into your life, it's different than the knowledge of Scripture. It's different than prayers. It's different than works. Yes, all those things are good, and they come naturally when you have the love of God, because it just flows out of you. It just comes out of you. I'm speaking something that is a mystery to most of us. We don't comprehend and don't really understand the love of God. That's why in that verse, and God has really been moving on my heart about this verse, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And then you have these believers who thought they had a relationship with God, and they said, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. What are you saying? What are you talking about? I thought I had a relationship with you, and what are you saying? And you're telling me to get away from me. And then I began to understand. They came to him in a soul.
They didn't come to them in a resurrected spirit. Our spirit needs to be resurrected from the dead. It's not dead. It's a seed. So you can say it's dead in a carnal mind. Has anyone took a bag of seeds and looked at them? Don't look like there's any life in there, does it? Take a couple tomato seeds or beans or whatever, and it looks dead, right? Well, that's basically what the scriptures meant by dead and having it to be resurrected. You know, give it some life, give it a little water, you know, and give it some food. So when you take a seed and you do plant it into the soil and you do water it, eventually something new comes out of it. You see some green stuff break that seed, and all of a sudden, bloop, a little sprout comes up and life appears. Well, that's what happens in our body. When we are born, we are born as a soul and a mind and a seed. And that seed is our spirit. And that seed never grows. There are people who are 67, there are people who actually die in their soul and who has never resurrected their spirit. Their spirit has never broke out of the seed. How many people are understanding this? Now, I'm not saying that you don't have a spirit. You do have a spirit, but the spirit's not alive. Just like that seed, it's there, but it's not alive. And so, yes, you have a spirit, but you have a soul too. And a lot of us can't comprehend the two. They think it's one. They think the spirit and the soul is one, and that you got to save your soul. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a traditional lie. You got to save your spirit. Your soul is going to die. And your soul is dying now when you embrace the love of God. When you embrace the love of God, your soul dies daily. That's what Paul meant when he says, I die daily. He was dying to his soul. And his soul was dying daily. So when he got to know the love of God more, his spirit was living and growing and getting older and older and older and older and older. We have a job. Our job is to be resurrected. Our job is to come in into the adoption of God. We need to be adopted. When we are born in soul with a seed of the Spirit, separated from God. We were orphans in the eyes of God. Our father in the world is darkness. We give our life over, we leave that source of fathership, the father of lies, the darkness, and we come into the adoptions of God. We come into the true sonship. How many people understand that? Okay? Now, there's a responsibility. Some people think, and I truly personally believe, that we're adopted when we begin to receive the love of God. When that seed is actually put into the ground and it gets watered. Now, how does our spirit get watered? Does anyone know? Our spirit gets watered by the Word of God. Hearing truth. Growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God. I'm going to share a verse with you that I was shown while I was in my place of prayer. How Jesus was showing the in prayer, he was talking to God, and he was basically showing his heart of the importance of sharing with others. Jesus' whole ministry was to show them the love of God. I was sent down because of the love of God. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. His whole ministry was showing the world how much God loves us. God loved us first. He loved us before the foundations of the world. We have a hard time embracing the love of God. And if we go through the traditions and the works, thinking that we have a relationship with God, we're living in a soul. And that seed has never been born again. Some people think in a traditional manner that they come to the altar and accept this truth and, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, they become born again. But they're actually living their life still in the realm of the soul, and their spirit is never born again. They never increase in the love of God. They're still lost. They're still walking around lost. They're still empty inside. They're still running all over the place trying to fill that something inside of them called love, and they don't understand it. They can't find it. They can't get satisfaction. And I'm going to show you how you know if you have the love of God. Do nothing. Let's see if you can do nothing for a whole week and not worry about tomorrow. Let's see if you can do nothing and sit in that chair and be at peace and not feel bored. Let's see if you can do nothing and not feel as though that you got to run all over the place. Let's see if you can sit there with a friend and have a conversation and feel as though that you have nothing to talk about because you have no love in your life, no experience. You didn't go and you didn't go to the mountains. You didn't go to the ocean. You didn't go over here. You didn't go over there. You didn't run over here and got filled with something that you want to talk about. The love of God. And if you have the love of God, I know it sounds crazy, but you're bubbling up. You're bubbling up. You have so much to say. You can't keep your mouth shut. You can sit in a chair all day long and be content and not worry about tomorrow, not worry about what's happening, nothing. You can be filled. How many people understand where I'm coming from? It's very important to understand the born-again spirit and the love of God and how it gives us life. And it's so important to understand the deception of the soul and the mind and how it receives love. The mind and the soul and the way it receives love is it feels as though that you have to be so active and you have to run around and do all these things so that you're filled. Anyone understand? Okay, now I'm saying it's good to be productive. Very good to be productive. It's good to do things. I'm not asking you to go sit there and do nothing. I'm just asking you to see where your heart is. The spirit is within the heart. And the spirit is really your life. The soul can grow up to be 60 years old, still in the mind of reason, and the mind can say to the soul, I accomplished all these things, and I did great things. But if you're honest, you're still empty inside. That's why it's so hard for a rich man to get to the heavens. That's why it's hard for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God. The soul is deceived by the mind of all these works, all these things. That's how it makes the scripture true. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I did all these things. I did it all. In your name, too. And then he says, get away from me. The spirit has never been resurrected. So basically what has happened is a believer or a seeker of God, not knowing the love of God, just a seeker of the religion, I call it, goes to God when he dies, because we're all going to see God when we die. Died in the soul and came to him in the soul. And God saw the soul. He says, I don't know you. You're an illegitimate son. Get away from me. But the soul did all these things in your name. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't know you. You have never become born again. The seed of Christ has never risen up and been resurrected. I'm looking for the seed of Christ. I'm not looking for the soul. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. You're nothing but a soul. But I did all these things. I did it. You didn't have our love. I am the bride. You are the bride and I'm the bridegroom. We are to become one. We are to become one. We are to become one. If you take a relationship and a married couple can understand this love, where two become one, you know, they just understand it. And but God is saying he wants to become this love. And then we have to ask ourselves, I know in my own personal life, I do a lot of soul searching and I do a lot of spiritual searching. Remember, the two are one, you know, the two live in the same vessel. So my desire is that the soul is burned out and it dies like the chaff. The chaff is burnt. I want the window fan to burn my soul. I want it to die. I want my soul to die. And I want my spirit to live. I want my spirit to be resurrected and born again and to live. Not only to live, but have abundant life. I don't want my soul to deceive me and think I have life when I have no life. I'm still lost. Yes, the mind has caused my soul to have willpower to accomplish a lot of things and to do a lot of things. But the reality of it is I have no life. And what I want is I want a life. But my life can only come through the Spirit. No matter if my soul accomplishes great things, I'm still empty. I'm still dying. I'm still thirsty. I'm still longing for something that I can't identify, but it's not there. And I feel sometimes sick, sometimes desperate, sometimes hopeless, sometimes weak. Sometimes I can't feel as though I am living, but yet I have all these things. My spirit never lived. My spirit never resurrected. My spirit has never been able to come to this place to have a life. And I'm lost in the soul. But when I can live in the spirit, I know who I am. I say I know who I am. And I'm content. And I'm at peace. And I don't lack anything. Even though I might not have nothing, I'm at peace. And I'm just in joy and peace. I'm filled. I have a life. I'm content. So with my life, my relationship, I say, I want to count everything I know and throw it away so that I can know you the more. I want to live out my life to the fullest. Most people don't understand what it is to live their life out to the fullest. Their mind is playing tricks to their soul, telling them that they have to accomplish all these things. When the reality is, if we just learn the love of God, I know it sounds simple, but it's so hard. The love of God gives you the life, and now we are moved and driven by the Spirit of God. and the doors that God has opened up for us, no man can shut. So all those opportunities are yours. The issue is we're trying to kick doors open in the soul. Boom. And it's not working. We're using our own strength rather than the strength of God, rather than His army, rather than His chariots and His horses. We're using our own chariots and our own horses. And we're running around to and fro from every word of doctrine that comes into our mind and tells our soul what we think we need to do. When the reality is, God is putting His word in our heart. God wants to empower us with the Spirit. God wants to give us life. Now, this is the problem that we all have. It's called hope. The soul identifies it, it acknowledges it, and it knows it's there. And it mimics that life. So what I'm saying is, you have a desire in your heart. You want to do something. You want to accomplish something. You want to become something. You want to do it. The problem is when you get it or you do it, it's not satisfying. The soul wants more and more because it's not done through the love of God. When it's done through the love of God, you know that God did it. So your love is more gratifying. Your love is more like, praise God, look what He did. Oh, hallelujah. Wow. And your love ever increases the Spirit. And it accomplishes it, and it satisfies it, and it gives you strength and enjoyment and satisfaction. When the soul accomplishes something, you have temporary satisfaction. It's like this. I'll take a relationship. When you first find a relationship and you're not in love in the sense of God's love, but it's love of the world, let's say lust. It's a lustful love. I love her so much because she makes me feel so good. And it's this lustful love, okay? But when that lustful love has ended for that moment, 30 seconds, you're putting on football. You don't really care. It's not satisfying anymore. You're looking for something else. You're changing the television stations now. You're looking for another fix. You can't just be satisfied with that love. You're looking for more. How many people understand that? That's soul. That's the soul. The Spirit has never resurrected. The Spirit has never come to that born-again experience. And you know the problem that I see in the Spirit is I see a traditions of religions that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violence has taken it by force. So the soul world realm has taken the kingdom of God and has accomplished overcoming it. And what I'm seeing today, in today's world, is traditions of religion has taken over the kingdom of God and has robbed the Spirit from living and is duping the soul in thinking that they have eternal life when they have no life at all. And the spirit of the person, the people, are never resurrected. There is no true born again life. They have deceived us in the form of thinking that we have a born again life by accepting a tradition. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lie. In order to have a born again life, the Spirit has to be resurrected.
And the only way the spirit can be resurrected is if you ever increase the love of God in your life. Now, how do we do that? Tell me. I want to know more. And I said this before. You love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What have you just done? You have pushed the soul away. What you're doing is you're actually educating the soul. Because where did we start out first? We started out lost, but we were born in soul and we were born in mind. And that's why it says that we need to love God with all our heart, because that's really what we got, is the heart. Love God with all your soul and with all your mind. And in the beginning, what happens is now when you're starting to basically renew your mind, because that's what's happening, you're beginning to see that there is a higher power, not yourself. What is happening in the beginning? You need to understand what I'm saying. What is happening in the beginning? In the beginning, you have yourself and your thoughts. You don't have God. You don't have God. You don't have God to help you. You don't have God to guide you. You don't have God to lead you. You have no relationship with God. You have nothing. So what do you have? You have yourself and you have your thoughts. How your thought thinks, what you think is best, what you think you know. I'll tell you right now, a lot of people think they know God, but they're lost. They're still living in the soul. You know what you got? You got knowledge of God. You have no relationship. If you had a relationship, the Spirit will bear witness of what I'm saying. The soul has a power. It's called will. The mind is telling the power of the soul that they have to do all these things. And it has no strength. It wearies. It dies. It gets tired. You take your physical life. You go get your rest. Sometimes you can never get rest. You search around. You're looking for that empty life. That empty life is all your entertainment. All your entertainment. What you think you need to give you a life. And your entertainment could be your business. How much money you have. How many things you've done. All that. Look at your life. What identifies your life? What kind of life do you have? Let me hear it. What kind of life do you have? You see what I'm saying? What kind of life do you have? Do you really have a life? You're going to say, yeah, you do. But if you really are honest with yourself, you don't have a life. Think about it. My job is to get you to eternal life. My job is to have you have an abundance of life, not only for eternity, but now on earth. We are robbed, and we don't know how deeply robbed we are. Our life is stolen. We are robbed and we are stolen, and we think we have a life when we don't. And you're going to keep chasing and trying to get filled up. And you're going to spend your resources and you're going to do all these things. And you're going to spend all your energy and you're going to spend all this. And you're being robbed because it's being done foolishly. You're being robbed. You're being robbed. When you have the love of God, you know what happens? All your resources are given back. You're given. Here. There's no covetousness in you in the love of God. I want to show you some areas in our lives. That's why one of the verses that the Bible said is, give all that you have. Sell all that you have and follow me. And the rich man was like, went away sad because he couldn't do it. The soul said, you can't do that. You'll have nothing. You can't do that. Give your life. Can you lose your life to gain one? Can you lose your life to gain one? I know I spoke some deep things today. I know that they're somewhat hard to comprehend. And I understand, but please keep listening to what is being said, because who wants to be able to find out the truth when it's too late? When you reach that point where we leave our earthly body in the soul. Now listen, some people might say, oh, well, how can the soul and the spirit be separate when we die, our spirit goes to heaven? Well, your soul is a spirit too. It's just not of the kingdom. When I speak of the spirit, I'm speaking of the kingdom spirit, the spirit of God. I'm not talking about the soul that is empty and is walking the earth. Please understand what I'm saying. So yes, your soul is a spirit to some, but it's not a godly given spirit. It's an earthly spirit. It's a spirit that has been given to the earth to be able to be tried and tested and tempted so that we can surrender and give our lives to allow. This is why it's a need for a preacher to be able to speak the oracles and the mysteries and say, listen, this is what it's about. We need to be in education. You know, the ministry should be an educational ministry to learn, not to hear stories. It should teach you how to come out of the realm of the soul that the enemy has grips on, that is only willing to pull it down to hell. And get out and separate yourself from that and become born again and come into the Spirit. That's what the church should be. It should be a learning center of how to separate spirit and soul. How many people would agree on that? Amen? Because what's going to happen is you're going to see multitudes of people who are good people. And they're going to die. But their spirit will never enter the kingdom of God. How would you like to have your loved ones die and see them perishing? I truly believe that there is a glass wall and we'll be able to see. If it wasn't so, it wouldn't say that Lazarus, and dip your finger and just give me a little taste of water, please. You wouldn't have these verses in the Bible that kind of share some of the mysteries if we have eyes to see the truth. You know, Pastor Sam and I, we were discussing something yesterday, and I shared with him, and he picked it up. And he says, that's just like Lot. And I said, that's exactly right. The story of Lot was given to us to show us the eternal mysteries in heaven. These are not stories. These are mysteries that are for us to learn from so that we can identify and understand the spiritual world so that we're not deceived. The world is given a platform of deception. And we need to understand the power of this deception. And it's running rampant. Deception is running rampant right now. Only to steal your soul and take it to the pit. And where is the power of the church? Where is the teachings of the gospel of the church telling you the spiritual things so that your soul can be saved? Or die in your spirit, resurrect, and live. And that's really the truth. The soul to die on earth, because the earth is the only place that we have for this transformation. From the incorruptible, or from the corruptible man to the incorruptible man. That's what that verse means. So that we can transform from the corruptible soul man to the incorruptible spirit man. And God wants to transform us and cause us to become born again. You know, I realize what that song was from Roy Orbison, and I spoke it a couple weeks ago, and I've been hearing this song ringing in my spirit. I woke up one morning, and it just undone me. And I thought it was me speaking to God. And that song from Roy Orbison is, I Want to Fall in Love with You. Has anyone ever heard that song? I want to fall in love with you. You know, I don't even know how to sing it, but and then it goes with you. You know, and that was all of a sudden, that was God speaking to me. He wants to fall in love with me. I want to tell you right now, God wants to fall in love with you. He wants your love. He wants your love. He's crying out for your love, and we're rejecting it. We're not even embracing it. And how to embrace his love is begin to that warfare. Begin that to understand the carnal realm of the soul. Understand the worries and the fears. Understand these things that are trying to rob you. Understand the covetousness and the lust. And understand these things that are separating us from the love of God. Understand these things. I want us not to live our lives. You know, I may not see you ever again after today. Those that are listening, I may never see them ever again after today. But I will say this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You understand? Don't get caught up in the realm of this world and think that you have salvation. Check. And double check. Is your soul alive? Is your mind duping your soul? Are you working in and operating in the pride of life? Do you think you have all the answers? And if you think you have all the answers and you think you have eternal life, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have eternal life. It's the ones who question, do I have eternal life? And even today, with my relationship, I'm still asking God, where do I sit in heavenly places? Where do I sit? Am I next to you? Where am I at? What is still living within inside of me? What is going on in my life that I need to crucify? What is going on? You see? Listen. When you begin to understand truth, many are going to hate you. Many are going to hate you. Because the mind and the soul, understand, it's connected to darkness. And the father of darkness does not want you to have salvation. It doesn't. It doesn't want you to have salvation. Its job is to pull you into his kingdom. Please understand the powers. Don't deny and knock down the truth of the gospel. The message of the gospel is the only thing that's going to save us. And I want us to not fall captivity. There's a lot of people who I love, and I love deeply. But because they reject truth, because they reject maybe this message, because maybe they say, Jim, you're going a little too far. Maybe you should back off a little bit, Jim. Maybe you should just talk about good things and prosperity and blessings and, you know, and you know, just keep saying that God loves you and, you know, and everything's going to be okay. And, you know, and if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the blood of Christ, you know, washes away all your sins and just believe in Jesus and everything will be okay. And then you'll have a church. Then you'll fill the seats. I don't care. What I care is for the souls that I love. When I see individuals and I love them, you know, it's not my eyes, it's the Father's eyes. When I look through these eyes, I see the Father's eyes and I see the love that he has for you. I see how much he loves you. And if these were my eyes, they wouldn't be here this morning. They would be somewhere else. But these are the Father's eyes. And when he sees souls, and he sees the souls that have a heart to know him, but are lied to and deceived by the powers of the mind and the soul, and the soul, I'll tell you, is searching for some fulfillment, and it's running them to and fro. Where are they? The soul has taken them out of the truth for pleasures of love that is false. And that false love is not bringing them into salvation. Listen, the deceiver comes as an angel of light. And that deceiver is coming. I thank God that you're here today. Your soul is being saved. And how is it being saved? Through grace. And I want you to know what I mean by when your soul is being saved. Because it's being transformed. A soul is saved by being transformed. The reality is, the soul is dying and the spirit is living. Okay, I want you to know that. But when scripture says that, you know, save your soul, and when you hear the traditions of religion say, save your soul, what they're really saying is be converted. I want you to understand the truth so the truth can set us free. Sometimes the play of words brings confusion, and that confusion is only because the mind and the father of lies and has encrypted the mind of pride that thinks that they know everything and they can't humble themselves to hear the truth, so that mind deceives the soul and the soul thinks that they know it. When the reality is, it's only Satan trying to keep you out of the kingdom of God. It's only Satan trying to keep you from having a life. Sometimes we tend to forget about this deceiving power that is around our lives. I don't want any of us to forget that darkness is right there, looking, crouching to devour. Don't ever forget that. And how he does it is not through blessings and curses kind of thing. It's through deception to take you off the path, to keep you hearing the message of grace, to keep you from hearing the word of God, to keep you from transforming to the Spirit. It gives you other things. I ran out of time. I got the big cut it off thing. And I thank you, Jim. If without him, I'd be all night. And I really appreciate keeping me on track, because it's the passion of love. And it's not my love, it's God's love for his people. And so if I can have every head bowed for a moment, I'm going to share this verse, but I want you to listen. If you can close your eyes, let your heart hear. It's in John chapter 17, verse 11. This is Jesus speaking out of the New King James Version. It says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but I also those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you have gave me.